Oh, I didn't realise it at all. I was always convinced, right up until tonight, that it was going to work out. It was inevitable.
4-2, Forest lead, forward by Tudgate, looking for Earnshaw. Mistake, Earnshaw in! Earnshaw buries it! Forest have hit five against Derby!
A fantastic free kick for Nottingham Forest. And Pearce has done it again.
Big moment this, Hughes! A shot for Longo!
25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
Davis, yes! Fantastic free kick! Notts County double their lead, and now they are dreaming of Meadow Lane!
Lucy seeking Cohen, he's got the better of Matter. Now Chris Gunter storming into the box. And the volley from Majewski! Fantastic goal for Nottingham Forest from Majewski! An absolute beauty!
3 minutes to go, stoppage time. 1-1. As Bent is beaten in the air by Wilson. Ball breaks for Tesha. Tesha left hand side for Osborne. Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on! Smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to Over the Trent here on University Radio Nottingham, URN Sports podcast, bringing you everything that you need to know about your local football teams, Nottingham Forest and Notts County. I'm joined in the studio today by Alex Buxton, Liam Kenny, David Saunders and Nick Cabba. Now, first of all, we're going to be touching on the Notts County recent victory against Bristol Rovers in the FA Cup, where they dispatched League One opposition 4-2 down at Meadow Lane. And we'll also be hearing from a latest press conference we attended down at Meadow Lane prior to tonight's encounter in the Checkatrade Trophy away at Lincoln City.
What it does is allows me then to, you know, to evaluate the squad a lot, you know, going into the January to see what we need to bring in and or what we don't need to bring in.
And we'll of course be covering Nottingham Forest's latest results, including their 4-0 victory at the City Ground on Saturday against Queen's Park Rangers. Okay, so a 4-2 victory against the Pirates at Meadow Lane. Did any of you guys make the trip down on Friday evening?
Yeah, myself, Alex and David were all there. It was a very good evening. It didn't start off so well with the opening 10 minutes, but even when they were 2-0 down, you sort of, because the goals were so cheap to concede, you sort of thought that the hope wasn't over yet. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you definitely felt, you know, it took 12 minutes for the League One side to take that 2-0 lead, but after that, I can't remember Bristol actually having a shot. That it was almost all County bar that potential.
I think even the two goals, it's just they literally took their only real two chances, and both the fault of Notts County. They weren't defending particularly well for either of them, especially the corner when the goal was unmarked. But I mean, County always looked in it. I mean, me and Liam said during the game, without a few good saves from the keeper, it would have been level within a couple of minutes. So, and you kind of, even though it was 2-0 down against the top a team in the division above, you always thought that County was still in it.
Yeah, and two goals there as well for Ryan Yates, Nick. He's been instrumental since he arrived from Hereford.
No, he's been absolutely amazing. I mean, he's slowly worked his way in at the start of the season. I mean, he wasn't getting that much game time, but now I think he's made about, 14, 15 appearances in the starting lineup, and he's keeping out key players in County. And looks like a really young, promising player, and I mean, he'll only get better from here, I can see.
Absolutely, and another goal for George Grant as well. Liam, who's having an absolutely phenomenal season, a goal in the FA Cup, but still remains top of the League 2 scorers charts as well, which is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think he's moved on to about 11 or 12 now for the season, which is a terrific return from a midfield player. It's the type of figures you associate with a Dele Alli or a Lampard, getting those goals from midfield, so it does show how important he is. And when you go and speak to the county management, and when we go to these press conferences, whenever you mention George Grant's name, Kevin Nolan and the player, whoever we're speaking to, really does light up, because he is so important for this team, and it's so important to keep him until the end of the season if they want to keep this promotion push going, because he is the glue, if you like, that moulds it together.
I think he also suits the kind of style they play, because I mean, obviously John said and Amiobi, they're never going to get you that many goals, but they can bring other more creative players into the game, and it really helped kind of George Grant flourish in his role. And I mean, 11 goals at this stage of the season for midfielder, I mean, that's actually ridiculous.
And all the runs he was making throughout that entire game, and he just, he really does, I think he's hit the nail on the head, suit the style they're playing, the striker that can hold the ball up, play these kind of one-touch passes. There was one chance that he should have scored at 2-2, I think, just before, or it may have been just after it was 3-2, where, similar to the goal he scored, opens his body up. We all thought it had gone in, but it just went over the bar. But typical of him all throughout the entire game, just great runs, great awareness, and a lot of talent.
Yeah, I think that, on a slightly less important note, the fact that he can play left mid, CAM, on the right, it's just for a team that doesn't have that much depth and also got an ageing squad. I mean, that is so important, especially in the long run of the season.
And then also, when you see such an exciting young player, but also from dead ball situations, you don't really see many League 2, League 1 players who consistently can hit a dead ball from about 20, 25 yards and put it in the top corner. I mean, I don't know how many, about three or four free kicks maybe score this season?
Yeah, I think it's three so far.
Three free kicks. I mean, you see him doing, he's got absolute talent, and hopefully stays on from January onwards to the end of the season. But I mean, looks really a bright prospect.
Yeah, and just going back to your point, David, about where he missed that chance, I was watching it and it was a bad miss. He really should have scored the chance, but it was nice to see. In previous weeks where he's missed chances, his head has dropped and he's not had the same influence on the game. But he stuck in there, kept playing as well, kept getting the knockdowns off Hawkridge, Amiobi and John Stead. And got his reward at the end, and it was literally a carbon copy of the chance, and this time he converted it.
Yeah, lovely smart finish underneath the keeper as well for that fourth goal in the game. Of course, George Grant, prior to the Newport County game, where of course Notts County won 3-0 at Meadow Lane a week previously, George Grant hadn't actually scored since that game against Exeter as well, so it was more than vital that he got back on track in and amongst the goals as well in the FA Cup tie against Bristol Rovers. But Nick, another stalwart, you know, we talk all about veterans down at Meadow Lane, but John Stead of course popped up with another at the weekend, and he's having a fine season.
Yeah, he's having an absolutely great season. I think it's also really important where County are in sort of unventured territory at the moment, top of the league, haven't been there for a while, but you've got John Stead, who's more also off the field. I'm sure he's a massive leader, he's been there, he's been in the higher leagues. I think he's so more of off the field, he can really show young players like such as Grant, Yates, just what they need to do. Terry Hawkridge also, he came up from the conference last year, but just show players that they can really do it, and they can take up to League One. So I think he is that sort of father like figure in the County squad.
I think he did play very well that game, but I think me and Liam noticed towards the last 10 minutes of the game, Amiobi and Stead could hardly move. I mean, they're both they're late 30s.
There's going to be 70 between them, aren't they?
Yeah. Definitely for their collective age around 70. I'm not sure if these two will be able to compete even at League 2 level next year, and especially if they go up. So I think they really have got to kind of think of a long-term plan, because I don't think, as good as these two players are and as experienced as they are, they're not going to be around forever.
I mean, Alex, you say that. Do you think maybe a non-playing role next season for maybe Stead at Amiobi?
Smith as well.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Smith, I prefer, at this moment in time, even though he played well against Bristol Rovers, John Stead for me this season, when the team hasn't been performing, he hasn't offered enough. He seems to be always looking for the long ball, but he hasn't got the pace to go and make it. The centre-backs are just outpacing him the whole time. And when that's your only outlet, I think he needs to actually have a look at the side when he's setting it out and thinking, if we've got that with Schola already, possibly look at playing Forte or possibly Grant just playing off the striker, just to mix it up a little bit, because at times against Bristol Rovers, even though they did play well, as we keep saying, it did go up and there was not a lot going on between the two of them.
This is URN Sport.
Moving on to another trophy which Notts County are still involved in, which is the Checkatrade Trophy, or the EFL Trophy, and they face Lincoln City away tonight in Lincolnshire, with Notts County not doing so well in the previous round, a 2-1 defeat at home to Mansfield Town. Some of us, of course, attended that game. David, you were in fact at that match as well. What did you make of the performance, and what kind of improvements do Nolan's team need to make to a very, I would say, off-colour sort of performance? It wasn't a very, you know, a good atmosphere down at Meadow Lane, very unlike the results that we've seen in the league.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird game. The team didn't look up for it. The team didn't look like they had the right mentality. And there were kind of two causes for that. One being that it is a trophy that no one can remember who sponsors it now, and what the new format is, and whether they get a point for winning on penalties or whatever on earth is going on there. So, you know, that lack of any sense of what's going on. You know, if you win a league game, you get 3 points, you stay top of the table as it is for now. You know, in the cup, you win that, if, you know, you go through to the next round. In this, you're sat here going, okay, well, get me my calculator and I'll figure out whether we're finishing top or second of the group in the north or in the northern section, because apparently they didn't want to split it into a midland section as well. And also, it was in a bit of a bad patch of form for County. They weren't doing so well. They drew against Forest Green Rovers. They laboured to a victory over Barnet, even though they looked like they were trying to throw that one away. And here, they just didn't. They weren't up for it. They should have been up for it. It's a game against, you know, local rivals, but it just never came. So what they need to what needs to change from that? Just knowing that a win here and they're through to the next round where they can play against such wonderful teams as Manchester City's early development squad or whoever on earth is left in the competition.
I think that sums it up perfectly. The prospect of playing Man City under 23s is not that appealing. And I think we said in the last Over the Trent podcast, I don't think that County have been that bothered by the result. I think that's shown by the turn-up, the attendance at the game, the players and off. And I think a lot of fringe players will be playing today. I could see Forte starting, maybe an Alan Smith. I think they've got to have keeping their eyes on the bigger game on Saturday against Cheltenham. So I really think they won't particularly mind. I mean, overtly, they'll say, I mean, and every player wants to win a game of football, but I don't think they'll be that gutted if they crash out the competition.
Yeah, it does just take a win. They don't even need to do the whole, you know, win by two and hope that other results go their way. No, it's just a plain old win tonight and they're through. Anything else and they don't make it through. And I don't think there's too much to worry about. As long as the players are giving a good enough performance and it's keeping these players that aren't playing, because it is a slog to play every weekend, every midweek, weekend, midweek. So even one fewer game, you know, is one fewer game for a player to get injured, one fewer game for Smith and the likes of the old guard that, you know, need every single bit of energy that they can get. It's just one fewer game for them to play. And whilst it would be nice for them to progress and it would be nice for the players that are trying to push for that first team squad to have more game time and more ability to show the gaffer why they can, why they should be in the team, I don't think anyone's going to be too fussed if they fail to do that tonight.
Kevin Nenner revealed his potential team selections, as well as had a word on the vacant West Ham position at the time as well. Although we know the outcome of that now with David Moyes' recent appointment today, he also spoke about squad rotation and the January transfer window in this latest press conference we attended at Meadow Lane.
Sure, and then looking ahead to the game tomorrow, can we expect to see a little bit of rotation from the team that played on Friday?
Yeah, there's got a lot of lads who haven't played, who will be involved, and lads who haven't been getting the minutes of late. And then I'll be giving a debut to Piers Baird, which I think he's absolutely, you know, been magnificent since he's come in. Lads from Dunkirk, you know, who's done brilliantly well from when we first spotted him at the end of last season. So he's going to be introduced into the first team tomorrow, so I'm really excited to see how he performs. I'm really positive that he's going to perform very well, because he's deserved everything he's got. So for me, it's about him just enjoying it and, you know, just enjoying the experience, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of him in the future. But I thought it was the right time to breed him in and see how far he's coming in such a short space of time. And if it doesn't work out, we'll go back to the drawing board with him and we'll get him back to where we belong, where we feel he will get to. It might be too early, who knows, but as I said, no pressure. It doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. Piers Baird's going to be at this club for a while, and hopefully we can continue to develop him.
Sure. And what sort of things have impressed you most about in training so that he's earned this first team opportunity?
I just think the way he's handled it, the way he's a down to earth kid. I've met his family, and they all, you know, they all seem to be right behind him, which is always lovely to have. He had a determination to succeed. You know, when he first come in, you know, it was on the basis that he was just going to come in and trial in pre-season, and he left his job to do that. You know, so it just showed how much he wanted it. So for the kid to do all the stuff he's done and to be in the position he is now, I feel it's only what he deserves, and it'll show us a lot tomorrow of how far he's come, As I said, it doesn't matter, you know, what comes out of it with PSV tomorrow, whether he has a blinder, scores a goal and keeps a clean sheet, or whether, you know, we feel he hasn't just got quite, he's not quite there yet. What we do is we get the best development for PSV, and that's what, you know, that's why this is the next step. We're going to find out a lot about him, and I'm sure he can handle it. He's a bright kid. He's, you know, he's got a good head, good level head on his shoulders. He's done really well in training. He's got a wonderful left foot, good in the air. So for me, he's deserved this chance.
Does that make competitions such as these a little bit important for player development such that? Of course, there have been some managers that have berated it and said it's a bit of a Mickey Mouse cup, but it can help, like you say, rotation, some players come through.
Yeah, well, when obviously players haven't had the minutes, then it's always an opportunity then to put them in and keep giving them the 90 minutes, because, you know, it's a long old season. You want them to be as fit and as fresh as possible. But it's not always, you know, easy when you've got game after game and it's week after week. If you're winning games, you know, these players don't really then get the minutes what they probably deserve. So having this has been a good thing and a positive thing for us, because we have got the squad what can handle it. For me, it's just the next. It's the first time I've ever been involved in it, so I'm enjoying it. So I want to win. I want to win tomorrow. I want to get through. I'll be very disappointed if we don't. But as I said, we don't get too disappointed when it doesn't happen, and we don't get too excited when it does. What we do is just make sure that we keep that, you know, happy medium and the level of consistency. And for me, tomorrow is about a lot of lads who haven't had the minutes showing me that they're ready to go whenever called upon.
And what sort of game are you expecting against him tomorrow?
It's going to be a tough one. You know, you're never going to get an easy one at Lincoln. You know, they've done an absolutely amazing job from where they've come from, and they've been really good. They've took to this league really well, and they've done superbly well. And to be in this position, I'd like to be in their position going into the game tomorrow night. So obviously done really well in that respect as well. So for me, it's going to be a real tough game. But one, I feel that if we impose ourselves on them, we can get the victory we need.
Sure. And just finally, we briefly touched on it, but of course, Stan Bilic was sacked from West Ham today. Just your reaction from that, because I understand that you had good dealings with him. He's a good friend with you.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously went in and trained when I didn't have a job and done a little bit with him and got to know Slavo. You know, he was there when I left as well. So it's always disappointing, you know, when you see people lose their job, I think. And I'm disappointed for Slav, but, you know, looking at him, he probably expected it. And from what I've just read before, he seems to have expected it, you know, probably a lot earlier than what's happened. I think what's important now is that they make the right choice and the right person goes in there, because it is a fantastic club. But you know, they've got to get it right. They've got to get it right. The owners have got to get it right. When they didn't give him a new deal at the beginning of the season, and he held back, I always thought it was going to be a difficult one, because I remember the same happening with Sam when he was in his final year. You know, everyone's up in limbo because they don't really know what's going to be happening and what's going to be happening, you know, come the end of the season. So there's going to be a lot of players out of contract who will be thinking, I'm trying to impress this manager, the next manager, you know, and whoever goes in, I think you've got to sort of look more long term than just thinking, oh, a short term fix, because you'll still have that doubt. No doubt, them lads, I've spoke to a lot of them over the weekend after the game, because I'm still friends with a lot of them. No doubt they are hurting, and hopefully, you know, they'll be able to turn it round. But they all want someone to come in and have a structure so that they can all then work off something. Nothing which is going to change again in 6 months. So big call from the board, and the next call is going to be even bigger.
So just get back to the FA Cup victory against Bristol Rovers. You've mentioned about how your team control the game so well, but 4 goals, 10 shots on goal and 7 on target. How pleased are you your team's attacking 10, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've been working on, you know, tirelessly on the training ground with the lads. You know, when we had all them clean sheets early on, you know, in September, and we got them, we sort of shifted the focus to try and, you know, make sure that we can keep continuing to score goals as well, and get that, you know, that nice medium, if you like, and that we're not just going to be, in, you know, when we get opportunities, we're putting it in the back of the net. And I feel over the last couple of games, we're taking a lot of opportunities, we're creating a lot of chances. And to be scoring 3 and 4 in the last 2 home games has been absolutely magnificent. So, yeah, we're going to continue to work hard on the training ground with finishing because, as you said, we had 10 shots on target, we only scored 4, so it's not a bad output, but we'd prefer 5 or 6 just to make it a bit easier, you know. But for me, we've just got to make sure that we keep working hard. Keep working hard at both sides of the game, out of possession and in possession. And I feel at the minute, everything, you know, the last couple of games, certainly it's clicking nicely.
And tomorrow night against Lincoln City in the EFL Trophy, of course, you defeated them 4-1 rather in September in EFL League 2 action. What kind of attributes and aspects can you take from that performance going into the game tomorrow night?
I think we can take a lot of attributes because, you know, they're going to be similar. That, you know, they have a way of playing, we have a way of playing. If we can continue where we left off, and certainly in that game, I feel that, you know, we'll give ourselves an absolutely fantastic chance of getting through to the next round. They're a really good side. They've got some really good players, and they do the things. And I think they're now starting to evolve a lot better, you know, and they're getting to grips with not only this league, but they've been really good in this competition as well. So, and they, you know, they like a cup competition, as we've seen last year. So, for me, it's going to be a difficult one, but it's for one that we're totally going to go there and enjoy and try and come back with the 3 points to get through to the next round.
And 6 games overall in November, a busy winter schedule ahead of you. Have you got any kind of concerns or worries when it comes to squad rotation at this stage?
No, it's worked fine for me in the past couple of months. What it does is allows me then to evaluate the squad a lot, you know, going into the January to see what we need to bring in or what we don't need to bring in, or whether people need to go out and get out on loan and get some minutes there. So for me, it's sort of a bring it on attitude, and I'm really looking forward to it. And listen, there's no better feeling than playing games. That's what you want to be doing. I love all this side of it, the day-to-day stuff, but you know, that's when, you know, the heart gets pumping and you really enjoy it and you really look forward to it and the butterflies come. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the month of November, which is going to be another busy one.
This is URN Sport.
So another busy month of November ahead for the Magpies in the rest of their games this month, and of course a massive winter schedule as well. We'll hope that Kevin Nolan and his team can continue the momentum in all cup and league competitions. But now we're going to move matters over the Trent and discuss Nottingham Forest, who of course won 4-0 against Queen's Park Rangers in the Sky Bet Championship at the weekend. Goals from 2 from Tyler Walker, 1 from Kieran Dowell after his wonderful hat-trick against Hull a week previously. And another from Barry Mackay in that game as well. Nick, our resident Forest fan in the building, you were gutted not to be able to make it down to the game on Saturday, but nonetheless, what do you make of a fantastic performance it seemed like for White Walton's team?
I mean, I was only able to listen to it, but from the first 90 seconds I was thinking, oh god, QPR are going to do it, they're going to beat us finally at the City Ground. But yeah, it was absolutely magnificent. I think finally it just started to click. What's happening, sort of whole, we could see parts of the players beginning to click, and that QPR just happened, the way the style, the players, I think even the crowd just backing everyone. But no, it's good to see Forest actually playing the right football and getting the results, because I think when I've been at the games recently, I mean, especially I think like the Fulham game a few weeks ago, Forest were playing good football but just not happening. But it's finally seems to get in the players' heads, and they're finally able to do it. And also, it's great to see Tyler Walker. He's really had like very little chance. Very chance has been restricted to just League Cup matches. But for him to bag 2 goals is great. And also, Kieran Dowell, one of signing young talent, rounding the keeper and putting it to the back of the net. And then Barry Mackay, lovely swift volley to put into a great move. I mean, it's heading in the right places. I mean, 8th place with 2 points, I think, off the playoffs now. It'll only get better from here, I think.
Yeah, invariably Mark Warburton, Alex, has got a lot of selection problems, as he has done all season really, especially in the attacking department, but he's got another one now with Tyler Walker scoring those 2 goals.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the players, and I mean, Cummings found himself on the bench recently, Clough, who everyone thought was me quite a good talent, struggled to get in the game, and obviously got young players like Tyler Walker trying to get in. I mean, it's a good problem to have in some regards, but it's going to be hard for him to pick a front three, front four every game nowadays. I mean, you've got Daryl Murphy leading the line. It's kind of hard to think who is going to come out for these players. I mean, you can't really drop Walker after that game, but who else is going to not come back into the side? So, I mean, no, Warburton likes to focus on kind of the attacking kind of style of team, so I don't think it's any surprise that they're a bit top heavy. It's just a shame they didn't have this problem at the back as well, but
Yeah, of course, a perfect response after that 3-1 defeat to Fulham in midweek as well, Nick. Do you feel like there's been a lot of occasions this season where Mark Wolverton's team have sort of taken one step forward and then gone one back? It's consistency that seems to be eluding them so much.
I mean, that is the key problem. I really thought we went to Reading on Halloween. I thought we were gonna do it. I mean, Reading were 20th, pressures on Yapstam, the crowd aren't happy with anything, and then just absolutely capitulated and just couldn't even pass the ball, stringing five passes together. But we've got Birmingham, next game's Birmingham away. Hopefully we can just keep some of that consistency going and just not buckle under the pressure. I mean, I think everyone says Walker has to start. Yes, he scored two goals, but I'm not sure if he's ready. If he is ready to start a consecutive game, I mean, I think he's a very good player, but I don't think he will start. I mean, I'm not sure he'll partner Murphy up front, but it's just about getting consistency, players, consistent performances, and I don't know, just getting that headache, that problem with the squad rotation.
Talk about consistency. I mean, they've won 8 games, lost 8, 0 draws. I mean, that's, you don't really see much like that. I mean, if they had just turned a few of those losses into draws, they would probably be competing at the top of the table rather than just outside the playoffs. So I think Nick's completely right. If they do get consistency, I mean, this side can do anything this year. I mean, there are good teams above them, but they're not far away. I mean, automatic, I think, is out of reach realistically, but I definitely think now they should definitely aim for the playoffs.
But I mean, Alex, you say that there. What worries me is when we went to Hull, Hull were the better side to start off with. Was it Grosicki?
He was
really playing the part in that game. But we were 3-1 up, we were cruising, and it's just such simple things, like a scrappy goal, 3-2, put under pressure. We just can't seem to. Yes, against QPR, but it's probably the only games where we actually can. We saw it out. We make life so hard for ourselves, and then what worries me is that is the defence. We really do struggle to keep clean sheets. Yes, I think the QPR game was a rare moment, but look, we conceded 3 away at Reading, conceded 2 away at Hull, we conceded 3 at home against Fulham, Wolves conceded 2, so I do feel like the defence is still a bit of an issue at the club.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Warburton likes to adopt the 3-5-2 formation on many of his games. In many of his team sheets this season, with often Mansi and Worrell and Mills taking up those positions at the back. But Alex, do you feel like 3-5-2 is a good formation to play at this level? I mean, a lot of teams have got by with the sort of rigid 4-4-2 formation that has, you know, like Wolves and Cardiff City, that have seen them propel themselves into those promotion places and do so well this season.
I wouldn't say it's at a level. I think it's more the players. I mean, I'm not so sure if it does suit the Forest back line. So I think if I was the Forest manager, I'd be trying to keep Mills as far away from the team as possible, to be honest. And
I mean, let's hope he doesn't come back into the starting lineup. That's all I can hope.
Exactly. I mean, I can see why he does it, because he thinks that all three centre-backs are a bit suspect defensively, and he wants to kind of give them this added cover, but I don't think it really does suit Forest. And I think they've had more success when they've kind of switched to this more 4-2-3-1 kind of formation, which I saw the other day when I saw them play against Sheffield United, and where they got a good win. So I think, yeah, I do. I'm a big advocate of the 3-5-2, but I think it's got to suit the team, and I don't think it suits Forest, and I think they should really kind of be keeping it, playing to their strengths, and that is more of a 4-2-3-1.
This is URN Sport.